Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Top 5, the Patreon-only podcast where I, Josh Earle, sit down with a good friend and we discuss the top 5 on a topic of our choice today. It's my good buddy, it's Justin Hamilton.
I am really excited about this top five list because, to be honest, I can't really remember the last time I've ever discussed these books with anyone.
Oh, great.
Do you ever really bring up nonfiction books?
No. Well, I was thinking this before because I went through a huge stage when I was reading at my most. This was before kids and I was working in a library and reading every night I'd be reading.
Yep.
And day during work, but it was like, yeah. But then I think you get to an age, and this might be me generalizing, but men, we do tend to go into more nonfiction. And look, yeah. This is, I got asked a question by my son the other day about World War II, and I was like, I don't really know. I might look it up. And I might be at the age where I'm really going to get into World War II.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. I look back at so many subjects from when we were kids at school and I think if someone had taught this better,
yeah.
I actually would have been into this.
Yeah.
Like physics is one of those things which is so dry in school and I have to do all this basic research to be able to understand the new things that they're discovering as they move along.
Yeah.
And then also history as well. Like, you know, history's so fascinating, but it's so many times it's just, it's the teacher from Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that thing, like with science, I remember learning the periodic table, but just going, why? What what do I need this for?
Like, yeah.
It makes, and there's scientists, I know there are great scientists who listen to this.
Yes.
Famous scientists are actually Patreon subscribers. I won't out them, but they are, like, if I said their name, you'd go, oh, I know that person. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
They, I'm sure, but to me, I've never needed to know the periodic table in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd be able to tell me, this is why you do it, but I didn't have any teacher who could tell me why this is important.
Right. No, I didn't have any teacher that could do that either. So so then I get to these moments where I was, I was listening to a certain person's podcast that I'm going to mention later, but a guy finally explained string theory in a way that I could understand. And that had been something that I had been trying to get my head around because it seemed so interesting, but I was absolutely flummoxed and then had this one person sort of say, oh, yeah, it's blah, 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 blah. And I went, miracle, I get that. I'm on.
When I was on Triple R, Alicia sometimes, who I would do the show with, she was really into science and she would get Katie Mack, who's an astrophysicist, to come in. And science is not my bag, but would just ask the dumbest questions going, well, I don't know this. Mm. And so she was explaining black holes.
Right.
And she was like, you know, they're scraping the matter around the black holes. And I said, is it like a lost sock in a washing machine that you can't see, but then you put your hand around, and she was like, that's exactly what it's like. But I could see Alicia's eyes rolling so far back in her head going, oh, Josh has asked another dumb question again. But Katie was like, yeah, that's exactly it. That's what's happening. But yeah.
Right. You need to go on tour with her. Who's the double act with the scientist and the comedian? Robin Ince and...
And it's the guy from D. Ream.
Funnily enough, he's the one that we should all know, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. But anyway, you could do that with Katie.
There you go. We'll go on the road. That'd be great. Anyway, but we're talking about non-fiction books here. So last week I had Grace Jarvis on the show. We talked about our fiction books. Today we're going non-fiction. So I'll kick us off.
Please.
So my number five, it's very much in my wheelhouse, and it's the Saturday Night Live from New York tell-all book, which they've updated every 5 years since the 25th anniversary.
Oh, do they really? I didn't know that.
So it's by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales. And it's one of those things, I've never watched a full episode of Saturday Night Live.
Hmm.
I've seen the clips. I've seen the really good sketches. And if there's a good band, I'll see the things. But I've listened to so many podcasts and watched so many Tonight shows hosted by former Saturday Night Live people.
Right.
Where they just talk about their experience on Saturday Night Live. And it really is, like, I guess it's the, on a much bigger scale, the American equivalent of doing like an Edinburgh run or doing like a run like that where it's like they're all there for a purpose and it really does change them as people.
Yes.
Working on this show.
Yeah, and it's intense, and the stories behind the scenes, because look, I remember the legend of it, and my first taste of it was the best parts of Eddie Murphy on it when he was, what, 18, 19, 20?
Yeah.
You know, all the buckwheat clips and him being James Brown getting in the hot tub, and so I was like, this show must be amazing. And then I remember watching it and going, it is very hit and miss.
Yes.
And often more miss for me. But the stories behind it are intoxicating.
And I think Tony Martin would even agree with this, that The Late Show, which was, you know, made in Australia, for those who aren't in Australia, it was a sketch show, but a bit different than just a standard sketch show. They had sketches, but they also had desk pieces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was also quite hit and miss because our memories, we reminisce and we think of the best ofs.
Right.
That everyone had those VHS tapes.
Yeah.
I think, oh, this show must have been amazing the entire time. But there would have been sketches there where I'm going, yeah, I'm sure that wasn't a good sketch. And they were putting up going, hey, we just need to write an hour of sketches every single week. It's got to go up.
Right. Well, you know, Santo Chilaro once told me, I think I met him doing one of Steel Saunders' podcasts, actually. And Santo was saying to me that, you know, The Late Show wasn't a hit for like 20 weeks. And I was like, could you imagine getting 20 weeks to find your feet? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's insane, isn't it?
It was that thing. Every time they do one of those, the great moments of Aussie TV, it's always, one, it's always really loose looking. It's always the mistakes that they're showing. How great is this?
Right.
But then TV networks don't let that happen. They don't let that happen anymore.
Yes. Yes. Like, yeah.
Everything's produced to the finite, and then but then when they show the best ofs, it's always like Don Lane and a dog shits on the carpet or something.
I was about to say Graham Kennedy and a dog pissing on the floor, you know?
And it's all those kind of moves, so, which I think is why people like coming to see live podcasts.
Yes.
Because they get all the bits, like, oh, it's not scripted, it's all those extra bits. But this book, I'll get back to this Saturday Night Live book. It's because so many of them are either very successful, so they've got nothing to lose, so they're very honest about their time there, or they were in it for a year, hated it, and just going, I'm just going to rail on this show. And so it is interesting. You get a lot of different perspectives of the people in this book as well. And it is, I think, Lorne Michaels, who's still at the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And must have, like, because he still seems to have quite a hand in the show. Mm. To be current and knowing, because it is, like, you know, it's still in the zeitgeist. They do sketches which you go, oh, that broke through. And who they've picked for certain years when they go, oh, that wasn't even a good year. Like,
right.
They go through, it was like the Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, Seth Meyers, Amy Poehler, John Mulaney was writing, and that was considered, oh, after Will Ferrell left, no, these guys are no good. And you're
no
like,
good.
Oh, how are you? Yeah, like, but to see them and obviously foster the talent and give them the confidence to go out. But but the book is fascinating. It's a lot of people with some axes to grind.
Yeah, right. You know, I was listening to a producer who worked closely with Norm Macdonald, and he was being interviewed, and he talked about one of those lineups that was considered a dud lineup, but it was like Chris Farley and all of those guys. And it was like, it's because at that point, they weren't Chris Farley and Norm Macdonald yet.
Yeah. That was the Adam Sandler, David Spade, Chris Farley.
Yeah. And you're like, that's like, even if, regardless of whether you're a fan of the individual's work, that is a lot of talent right there.
Well, they always say with Saturday Night Live, whenever you say, oh, this was the best one, it was when you were like 14, 15.
Right.
When you're at that age where you're not old enough to go out to bars. So you're at home Saturday night and you're watching it. And that's when people have the most fond memories of it. Right. Yeah. So that was my number five. I highly recommend reading that book, even if you've never watched Saturday Night Live. It's just fascinating to hear.
Might be better.
Yeah, actually,
if you haven't seen it. Well, my number five is, I've got it here. This is Michael Chabon's Manhood for Amateurs. It's a lot of essays on being a man and what it's like, his journey from being a young Jewish fella to a, you know, a dad and all the things that he witnesses around the world. I'm a big, my favorite book of all time is The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. Yeah. I've loved all of his books. This is just a really well-written book of essays. And even me saying, oh, it's, you know, it's about what's it like to be a man. You still, there's a part of you that goes, oh, like what an awful kind of sentence. But he's such a interesting and erudite gentleman who, you know, is had an interesting life, and he's not afraid to kind of look at where he made mistakes and what he learned from those mistakes, and it's always entertaining as well.
Well, John Birmingham wrote a book, How to Be a Man, as well.
And so right,
he,
yes.
Who wrote, for those who don't know, he wrote He Died with a Fluff in His Hand, Tasmanian Bass Fiasco. And that was, I was given that almost as a joke present when I turned 18, from some friends going, oh, here you go, now you're a man, have this. But it actually was very handy. It was it was one of those books, like, I haven't read it for years, but it did have, look, it had a few recipes in there going, well, you're going to be living on your own.
Yeah.
And it was just his musings on life and what he's learned. And I do think, because I was almost, last week I had in the fiction book, I had High Fidelity, because I was like, it was a great gateway book into getting back into reading. Because it was like a Billy Bragg song, but as a piece of fiction book. And almost apologizing for it. And then I got off, I've stopped recording. I shouldn't have apologized so much, because it is like, I don't know, like, it's important that there are really strong male role models.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to get the only people who are talking about being a man are those meatheads who have currently got protesting in Melbourne or your Joe Rogans of the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, eat meat, work out, have these supplements. It's like just...
Yeah. No, this is exactly the time for a little bit of leadership from, you know, the thinking side of the man divide. And it's so funny, isn't it? Because it is, like, even... Like, I second-guessed even bringing it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I love this book. And I think it's a great read.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.